for one good time. Hello. Hi, guys. It's Jasmine here.
And it's Evie here. Well, we are doing the winter show, winter edition. Really dark in the studio right now.
Very cold, very dark. And it snowed all day today, but like quite peacefully, I must say.
It was pretty.
Yeah. But as I was walking here, I was a little bit late. And I actually got it like 2 minutes right before I had to start. The street sidewalk was freezing. Like, it was frozen. I didn't run here. I fucking slided here.
Yeah,
I was skating.
She fucking slip and slided here.
Yeah, and you know that feeling when you're like clenching your toe for dear life to hold onto your shoe?
Yeah, I was
literally doing that the entire time here, and I'm exhausted.
I think one big thing we got to say is like the first time it snows, you're like, oh my God, that's so cute. That's like so romantic. It's like whatever. The second time it snows, it's over.
No.
Like, we're not doing this. Like, this is crazy.
Yeah.
Why did my parents immigrate here? Ask the question every winter.
California. Why are we here?
Yeah, but we love it.
But Canada accepted us. So enough. I hate when we start the podcast talking about the weather. Enough. Anyways, welcome. We were not here last week, but we are here to wrap up the year, 2021.
Wow, what a year.
It went by so fast personally for me. And I feel like we're now going into that phase of the year where like the next 3-4 weeks is going to be a complete blur.
Yep.
Which I'm kind of excited about. I feel physically okay, but mentally I'm kind of feeling the burnout and like I'm just like dying for a winter break. But so fun story.
Yeah.
If you guys listened to our last episode, Evie was talking about the importance of taking time off and like, you know, really taking advantage of your paid time off and stuff. And I was bragging about how I took such an excessive amount of time off. God. And I was like, LOL, don't tell my manager. So that was on a Wednesday. On a Thursday, I have my one-on-one with my manager. I go in to write in my one-on-one agenda. Guess what my manager has on the agenda? PTOs. So I was so scared.
Wait,
I was like,
what are PTOs? Break it down.
A paid time off. So PTOs are like you get like designated amount of time get for the year of like how many vacations that you can have.
Yeah.
And with my current work, for some reason, I thought it was unlimited. I don't know where this word came in my head, but when I look back at my contract, it says flexible time off. So that has a completely different meaning. And to be honest, my manager, when I did have the conversation, it went, okay, guys, I'm not fired. But I just needed a little reset as I'm going into 2022, how I'm going to budget my actual flexible time off. But he also said, you know, it's such a gray area of like, what does it actually mean? And, you know, companies actually get you, like all these fancy tech companies being like, you have flexible time off, unlimited, quote unquote. But there's actually like, you get 15, maybe like mandated. And then everything else you do need to ask. And then they do say, well, depending on business needs. So like, it's not actually unlimited or flexible. So they lure you in. And then my friend who works in HR said there's like actually a statistic that people who are given maybe actual 4 weeks or 5 weeks off take that full time versus people who have flexible time off because it's so ambiguous.
Yeah, so exactly. I think that's the structure. A lot of tech companies always say that stuff.
Yeah,
though. It's just
they're
like,
lying.
But you also a lot of people work overtime at tech companies.
Exactly.
So
I did feel okay because I do work very hard and my numbers speak for itself. So that was kind of something that my manager couldn't.
Career talk.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Well, I digress. Basically, it was so funny because I was like, guys, like I took so much time off and I like kind of got a light slap on the wrist for it. But I feel good because to be honest, I did need to check myself. I was going a little too ham. I won't tell you exactly how many days I've took off. Because I feel sick to my stomach about it. But you know what? For all the days that I worked, paid internships, the days that I stayed late in the office, I don't know why, but I'm letting Jack Dorsey take care of it for me.
Yeah, 100%. But one thing I'll also definitely say about unpaid internships is like, this is a no in this day and age, okay? Like, I was speaking to an international student who just came from the Philippines, and she was super excited that she got an internship, whatever. It was like for 3 weeks or 3 months or something. I'm like, that's so dope. Like, assuming, you know, it's obviously going to be paid, like, please, like, we're in 2021. Like, I would hope people, you know, labor laws and such, not unpaid. And, like, so much easier to get international students because it's so precarious.
They don't
know. They have the most funds to pay and they, like, can get kicked out at any time. I was just, like, the way that this place, like, some employments, like, treat these people who can obviously do their job and more, than even more some of the people who, you know, are citizens or, you know, get paid. Like, it's so gross, like how they target those international students.
That's
it's
actually like, fucked.
Like so awful.
I only know one girl at my other job who has an internship right now, but she's getting like an honorarium. So when she breaks it down, she literally gets paid $3 an hour and they treat her like shit.
$3 an hour.
It's in PR. So PR, you need to wake the fuck up and start paying your people.
Everybody, yeah. Across all things. We don't do unpaid internships. We're here doing
equal pay
yeah. and fighting for it. So please,
yes,
anyone who's listening, don't just randomly take an unpaid internship.
Yeah, but I know all of our listeners are fair payers, so tell other people. but reflecting back on the year, how are you feeling about 2021?
So yeah, this year was like the year that we're like, I guess we will solve COVID. I mean, we're not, because just like every day in the news cycle, here's another variant. Here's mm-hmm. this. Here's a
but also, okay, it went from like alpha. It doesn't go like A, B, C. Why did we jump all the way to Omicron?
That was just a random name. It was supposed to get like another letter. The next one was supposed to be new and you, but they were like, you know, we'll just switch it up for this one.
Let's just go off.
It's like, just go off then. Like, yeah. What is this? Like, it's another thing that's definitely, I can see people being super concerned about. Mm-hmm. We don't know a lot about it. So like, I'm not going to be here screaming, but it's like, you know, I think the one thing that I absolutely hate, and I've seen so much of this, is like, I don't know how many times I have to say it over and over again. It's like, just because you're vaccinated doesn't mean you can't get it 100%. Okay?
Literally everyone that's vaccinated have gone like COVID.
Yeah,
again.
Could have it. But the thing is, like, we don't have vaccines for people all around the world. Our world is one that like people travel back and forth. So like, if we don't give it to countries that don't have it, we're still going to spread it around to each other and new mm-hmm. variants are going to pop up. So like, that's the one thing for sure. It's like a big criticism on like Western countries, where a lot of like, you know, countries, you know, all around the globe don't have that access. And mm-hmm. like,
yeah, even people in Korea, like literally just got vaccinated.
The first one.
Yeah.
It's crazy to hear it. And you're just like, oh, we're here like talking about boosters, when really we need to make sure to figure out like the way our world works, that we travel, people travel. Like, and then if people aren't vaccinated, new things are going to just pop up. So like, to talk about all that vaccine hoarding, man, it's crazy. So the hope is like that they get that going, and then we actually don't need to do year three of this. Because like, I saw this on Twitter today, like someone's like, can you believe we're going to year three of this? I'm like, please shut up. Like, I
feel like we've been in it for 5 years already.
And then, yeah, my friend Sarah Hagi had this amazing tweet. She was like, if I see anyone call it the panini one more time, I'm like, yeah, we're done. I'm not doing any of those. Like, this is straight up so depressing. We keep doing all that stuff.
There is not even an ounce of possibility that we're going to go into another lockdown. Like, I will personally, like, around
there. There already are some new policies again.
Oh, God.
So it's like the best hope is like the way that doctors and other people have said it. It's like, you just need to make sure other people in countries that have less money, have wealth, they need to get it too. Because again, these variants will pop up anywhere. Like mm-hmm. if you don't have vaccinations or whatever, and it does help you keep you out of the hospital. You know, that's what we need to do.
Yeah.
I can't believe we're just going to look back this time and be like, oh, in our textbooks, they had a pandemic and we're just like in it. It's so weird.
I'm excited that we are living through, not excited. It's, I often think about how I'm going to explain this time of my life to my kids, but taking the panorama out of the conversation, what were you excited about 2021? God, way to bring in COVID again to ruin the combo.
Okay, one thing I was excited about. Personal growth, obviously. Mm-hmm. Really excited about that. And I think one thing, more clarity in my head, was like really having a good understanding of, you know, what good representation means. Like, that's not exciting, but it's very clear for me now. Mm. You know, it was really murky at the beginning. Like, of course you want to see someone who looks like you win. But like, if that person that looks like you is winning but doesn't do it for the culture or anyone else, I'm like,
I have so much to say about this.
Yeah, we're doing a segue here. But it's true, though. Like, just because you're also Asian or you're also Chinese or you're also whatever, doesn't mean I'm going to vet you if you're like kind of a snake. Like, that's the thing that really I found a lot of clarity with, because I felt like there was such a big band together, like Asian this, Asian that, you know, this, that, whatever. But it's like, let's get more specific and deep here. You know what I mean? Like, let's not just say great job. Like, good to see the Sesame Street character.
Yeah.
Great to see her. And Sesame Street has always, since
and
day
fuck
one.
Fuck you, PBS. Not PBS. Fuck you, that senator who told PBS to take away the character.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. Whatever.
Doesn't matter.
But like, that's cool to see. It's Sesame Show. And the people that have created Sesame Show made that a part of their fabric. It has to be equitable from the beginning. But if you're just going to be like some person who got the clout because you're that one Asian that made it, you should
be out
there.
In a Marvel movie or something?
You should be out there helping others and also advocating for other people, and not in just like a shallow way, like in a real, real, you know, way. And so that's actually something I'm really happy of my own clarity. I was like, just because there's someone on screen, it's not that I'm against you. Of course, I'm going to be for you and hope that you're like this. But to be honest, there's just so many corny, I'm just going to say, like, corny Asians with fame. Like, just so corny. Like, please, like, do something good. Like, I don't know. It's just so irritating to me. But that clarity for me is exciting.
Did anything ignite this clarity?
No.
Was it a series of events?
Series of events, but just seeing like who, if you think about who our Hollywood stars are, who are Asian and like whatever, just thinking about it.
I can name five.
I can name five.
And that's all we have.
I'm not going to say necessarily that these five are the ones that I'm going to ride. Like, yeah, like they really do so much for the culture. And like, I know it's a extra layer because of who you are. Like, it's hard not to, you know, get that affirmation from Hollywood, which is mostly white and stuff like that, right? Like, so I know there's a ladder. I know it's hard. And you're...
It's a slow burn, unfortunately.
Yeah. The fact that you're there, it's amazing. But because you're there, maybe you should try, you know, to just... it's hard, but try. But like, I don't know. Like, that's the one thing I'm just happy to have clarity over. Like, not just seeing something and being like, I vet it 100%, 1,000%. I'm like, let me just do some research first. Let me look, like, does this apply to anything with anti-blackness or anti, like, being against indigenous people? Like, let's see what the repercussions of, like, what this person's representing. So, like, that's something I'm just very, like, happy to find that clarity.
Yeah.
Enough about me, you. Let's talk about something lighter, better, more exciting than that. Super deep.
I honestly, I'm going to steal yours and say it was also kind of personal growth in a way. I actually am like just coming off from like having my last therapist session for the year.
Whoa. And
there was a couple sessions ago. I don't know if this is how everyone's therapy session goes, but like I really like to have an idea of like what I want to talk about. Obviously, if something had happened recently, timely wise, I want to talk about it. And this specific session, I like knew what I wanted to talk about. But as I was explaining to her maybe some stories, she asked me like a different question that really threw me off and then kind of went to a different way. It was kind of a, like, typical
personal
thing. No, it was like mother trauma, obviously. Okay. What else is new? And then yeah, she kind of led me to a different place and I really kind of like let go and I let go of my just like rigid idea of like where I wanted the conversation to go. And then it ended up being like such a beautiful cathartic session. And then towards the end, she was actually like, Jasmine, like I got you, like I'm here to take care of you and like got this. And like I was like really choked up in my throat and like it was it was such a like a breakthrough moment. And then even after that, I needed to like take a walk and decompress and I even journal for a little bit. And then after that, just felt like, you know, me letting go of something that I couldn't really control, but I kind of going with the flow of things made me feel a lot better.
Yeah.
And then fast forward to like the session today, I was like, I've been seeing the same therapist about 3 years now. And I was like, oh, kind of like, I don't know. Do you like have like a normal conversation with your therapist without trying to cross boundaries? Like, what are you doing for your holidays? Like, oh my God, like we've been doing this for a year now.
I am like an over accommodator on like,
of course.
You know, like you got to break the ice. And I'm like, how's your week? Like, and I was like, do they actually care about me? Like, do they want to share anything with me?
Also, no, I'm paying you to talk about myself. So like, I don't really care about what you have to say.
I'm like, but I need help.
Yeah. So I was reflecting back on how we've been seeing each other for about 3 years. And she told me, you know, when you get to like year three of being a client, the first year you're kind of seeding because you're trying to get to know each other. Mm. And then the second year you're growing. And the third year is when
your third year.
Yeah. And she's like, the third year is when you're kind of reaping the fruits. And I was like, oh my God, like, I totally agree with you.
And you feel like you've actually had that growth. Yeah.
And it's showing up in different ways for me within my friendship. So like, I have this like one friend where I felt some ways about something, and I'm going to be really vague here, guys. There was one friend in a situation where in previously, I think I would have been a bit more petty about it or like really let it hold on to me and feel really heavy about it. But then for some reason, this time around, I really allow that person to just be who they are. And then allowed myself to actually make a positive connection to be like, hey, you know what? I'm actually going to make more of an effort to be present in her life so that we don't go through this again.
Right.
Whereas
before,
I think I would have been like, oh, that was so annoying. I'm just going to wait it until she like makes more of an effort. So
right.
Like, I feel like that's me growing.
That is you growing. Yeah. I think that's actually good. That's amazing. That's 3 years. And again, anyone who can afford it, or there's also, you know, some that are
sliding scale
ones, like definitely look into it, because it's just so funny, like when people talk about therapy now and they're just like, or and like they say something, they're like, well, I'm not like quote unquote crazy. I'm like, are you kidding me? Like, you get to talk for an hour
about
like
yourself. Do you know how fun that is?
And that's really good for your, like you're saying, for your growth, and that's so important. Other than that, other personal growth things, what are the realizations of this year for you?
Realized too many things, to be honest. I don't know. But what I do know is how much I hate Ollie London. So, Ollie London has popped up on our timeline again. And this time it's to congratulate Ariana Grande for joining them in
joining them
on a trans Asian transracial journey and how they should be the kings and queens of Korea. So a little bit of context. Ollie London is this British person who came out as non-binary but also got excessive amount of plastic surgery to look like this one member of BTS. And then Ariana Grande is now surfaced with a new photo shoot that she did where she looks completely
like
Asian fishing.
I actually thought that was saw a really funny tweet. It was like, I thought that's one of our K-pop sisters. I actually couldn't even tell. Yeah. And like, you know what? Like the whole idea of Asian fishing and then black fishing, I'm not saying it's not real, like, but it's so hard case to case. But yeah, Ariana Grande has like a history, whoever does her marketing, whatever, yeah, the hell, like
her image the self tanner.
Okay, the self tanner, like the looks, the talk, like everything, definitely
she's confused.
But when I saw that photo, I was like, guys, like this is like a new K-pop star. Like, what's going on? I was so confused.
And obviously, this comes at a time where, like, we had, Asian community had really big successes in mainstream media with Squid Game. And, you know, BTS obviously, like,
well, they killed,
yeah,
it.
killed it in all the American, like, awards and stuff. And then now because it's, like, cool to be Asian somewhat, or it's, like, more welcoming now, are these pop stars are kind of like trying to go into that route? I genuinely don't know. These are obviously like assumptions that we're making, but like it's so evident on these pictures that she posted, and also for Ollie London to pick up. I saw like a really funny TikTok when they were like, I would like to exert myself from the earth if Ollie London used my name in the same sentence. Like,
for
absolutely
sure.
Not. Yeah. So I definitely don't feel right about that, but it's not like the first time we're talking about like the fox eye trend or like, you know, Asian fashion. Like, it is real.
Yeah.
And even like, I don't watch the show, but like 90 Day Fiancé, there's this one couple where this woman has clearly like such fetishization about Asia. And then she meets this guy in China and she's like so into like samurai sword things. And like they're like making the butt of a joke about it. And I'm kind of sick of being the joke.
No, it's actually just like, this is the thing, like from in your personal life, like, and you know, the one store that you see, like I like the bone broth, like whatever, those things. Mm-hmm. It's like, I really now, another realization is like, I take these case by case. Mm-hmm. When you feel it's sus, you'll know it's sus. There's no words needed for it. Like the Mahjong thing was sus, okay? Like that's freaking sus. But like if you're cooking out of appreciation and you actually know the culture, you try your best to like be part of it, no one's saying you can't make it. Like that's something I'm learning, right? Like there's no rigid rules. It doesn't just like apply, like one thing doesn't apply to other. So like I actually see it case by case. But the fact that Ollie London, you know, he also recognized it in that photo, right? Like mm-hmm. he's self-calling her out. Like she wasn't like, hi, I look Asian now. He was like, oh my god, yes, sis, like join the Korean transracial whatever fuck the thing he's saying. It's like crazy. So I think it's important to note that like case by case, we can't just like be like, you can't do this because this place does this. Like, it's so different, but just use your brain. Like, if mm-hmm. something smells sus, feels sus, is sus, the person, like, is weird, like, then that's weird. Like, I think you're allowed to have those feelings and own up to those things. Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. I did catch myself a lot this year because I was overly sensitized, if that's the word, about, you know, consuming too much, maybe, like, white TV shows.
Yep.
And I went through a phase where I just could only watch Korean TV shows because that felt comfortable to me.
Yeah.
But then now I do catch myself like being overly critical, and I had to ask, am I being too sensitive?
Yep.
Or is this actually like something that's wrong? So I feel like I am, there is like a growing part of me that I'm like, I feel like I'm being a little bit too judgmental when it comes to anything white culture or like anything that's non-Asian culture. I don't know how you feel about that, because yeah, like I don't want to be overly critical about all things that are, you know, in the white community, because like that's also unfair. And like I don't think everything that we do in the Asian community is also right either. But like maybe I think there's also part of me that like I'm reliving my like teenager trauma.
Yeah,
like I
have
a lot of like childhood trauma in terms with like my family or whatnot. But then now I've been thinking a lot about my experience as in high school and how I was always surrounded by like middle upper class white people, and then normalized, you know, being able to go on an all inclusive vacation every winter, or they got a car as soon as they got a driver license, or you know, all these affluent things. And I just put it as my Asianness is what I couldn't that's why I couldn't get the things that my other white friends have.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then I think because I repressed all of that, I'm kind of like revisiting and then thinking about like all the opportunities that I missed out on because I hid behind my Asian-ness or my restrictions because of that. But it, sure, it had a lot to be with my Asian-ness, but it was also because, you know, my parents didn't have financial means and that's okay too.
Yeah.
So I feel like I am catching myself a lot being like, okay, am I being sensitive or is this actually wrong?
Yeah. And one thing I think another thing like that and when on the topic of like, whether something's appropriate or whatever, all this stuff. Like, one thing I really want to point out is, like, our parents, like, even my mom, the generation before, the first immigrants here, and even if you're not born here but you're a child, it's a bit different than their experience. Like, they might not be as interested or bothered by these things, right? Mm-hmm. Like, that's something we also have to recognize. Like, this is a very second generation feeling. Like, it really is. It's, like, the feeling that you don't really know your own roots and you're thrown into this place where you're not given the same privileges as somebody else as an immigrant, right? But like you're trying to connect to the roots so bad that it's so offensive when someone mm-hmm. takes it and tries to recolonize it, right? Like, so like, it's not to say that it's the same, but our parents, honestly, I think we're just too busy trying to get us here and sacrifice and do their thing and do it right. And they're happy about that choice that they made. Sometimes when I talk to my mom about like those kind of appropriation things or like this Mahjong stuff, like she'll laugh. She'll be like, mm-hmm. oh, that's stupid. But like,
she's like, we got bigger things to worry
yeah,
about.
Yeah, she's like, the anger isn't there. Yeah. Like, as what, you know, for somebody who grew up in Canada and in school,
yeah.
who's actively seeking ways to get back to my roots so badly, like all mm-hmm. the time, all the time. And like, I do, like, if you can encourage, like, if you can go back to the place where, you know, if you go back to Korea for jazz or like I go back to Hong Kong and just get to see those things. And I know it's not everyone can do that, but like that really does help. It really helps ground you and make it think a bit bigger. Mm-hmm. But the anger isn't unfounded. I think it's still important to recognize that. But one thing is just like, the funny thing is like, I think wok cooking is so cool. Like,
yeah, oh my, it so much goes into it.
It's so cool. It takes 30 seconds. It is so much skill. Like, I'm not going to walk up to a wok and like use it. I'm going to burn my face off. Yeah. But like, I was talking about how this is like a beautiful art and blah, blah, blah to people recently who just moved here from China and Hong Kong, basically. And they're like, what? Like mm-hmm. a wok? Like, you're talking about a wok like it's like a piece of art. Like, that's a wok. We use that. But like, that's what I mean. Like, disconnect is like, for them, it's just a common day use. Mm-hmm. But for me, I'm always trying to actively, as someone born here, like revisit my roots. I'm like, wok cooking is beautiful. It's so amazing. But there's so many different perspectives in that. True. So that's also something that I'm like, if you can use your voice for something that's sus, like the Mahjong thing, these ladies are really capitalizing on it. You know, clout like that goes on Diet Prada, sure, like call it out. But mm-hmm. like, I'm sure they got some business because of it too, right? So it's just like, our parents just really just wanted us to get here, like me and you specifically, mm-hmm. and make a life for us and make us happy. And that's it, right?
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah, I think if anything, what I'll take away from this year's reflection and realizing things is that my immediate like reaction is to be angry or like, you know, call it out. But like, I do want to take a moment to like digest it for myself and see what it means. And like, you know, there are good ways to project that information in a non-hostile way that's more digestible to the greater audience versus me like in the moment saying something. So like, I think that's going to be my actionables for next year.
Like doing it just a bit more chill. Yeah. And immediately like when like,
I'm a chill girl now.
2022, I'm a chill girl. After that bone broth thing, the amount of things people kept sending me, they're like, call this out. I'm like,
it's like, that's not my job. Persuader of,
And I'm also not the judge because everyone can take it away. If you think it's sus, then you post it too. If I have the time out of my personal life to go through that stress
maybe
again.
Maybe I will
because I'm so angry about it. But like, it's no one's duty to do that. I think it's like, if you know something's sus, it's sus. Like, if it looks like they're just ripping off your culture and selling it for like $20, okay, call it out. Do what like feels real to you, you know, mm-hmm. tell a friend, tell somebody. So like, it's just case to case at this point. Yeah. No blanket statements is the new way for sure for
Love
me.
That.
Yeah.
Let's see how that well translates in our Twitter world. But have you ever watched Selling Sunset?
I have watched Selling Sunset. I know, it's a cringe.
That is so off-brand for you.
Girl, I need that lightness too, okay? Yeah. Or like random anger too.
Yeah.
But at like
Hollywood. Did you watch the latest episode?
I didn't watch the latest one though.
A season?
You can break it down though. I've seen it all.
Like, guys, I have been like in my brain thinking about making a TikTok about psychoanalyzing Christine, but I just been telling so many people what I think about her. But this show is bonkers, and there were just so many things aside from the stupid produced drama that they create that I have a lot to say. But the main point that I want to bring up in this conversation is, why was Simu Louis there? Simu Lu. Okay, so
I don't know what episode was
he on. So in like episode, I don't know, like four or five, he comes into the Up and Iron group and then is matched up with this girl named Chriselle, who is one of the Asian, and then she is like showing him a house, and like that whole like ordeal made me feel really uncomfortable and like really cringy, because okay, sure, we know that he made this huge Marvel movie that was like the highest grossing whatever, amazing, it was our like our Black Panther, like it was a moment for us to be excited to have an Asian cast on TV show we never really got superhero, to talk about a superhero in a Marvel, like that's a really really big milestone that we made. But like, did you have to, like, you literally made new money. And I feel like he goes around to every single interview circuit and talks about the same story about how he used to work as a Spider-Man for kids' birthday parties. He used to be a stock photographer. He was in stock photography. Model, yeah. And then that he was in school for accounting and it was so bad. And it's so funny because he's now on in front of an accounting textbook. And then all this, like, things that he talks about, to me, just like, oh, like, do we really have to, like, center the conversation around, like, you being Asian, which is like really important. Because like what I'm trying to say is like things that we always talk about. Like if you're an Asian music artist, do you have to film every music video in Chinatown?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. And like this showed up in like he was in Hot Ones with in the Complex show. And then they usually have like milk or something, but they have bubble tea and like boba. And I'm like, did you really have to have the one Asian guest in and now you have to drink boba, guys? Like, to me,
I know.
It's such a caricature thing of it.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. I think
he's the only Asian that we've ever seen on the Selling Sunset show. And like, he only was able to come in. And like, there's this one scene when he talks about budget of how much he wants to spend in a house. And he goes, oh, I don't know, like 6 to 8. And I'm like,
oh my you're God.
You're coming on here being like, you want to spend $6 to $8 million. And he's like, you know, like I'm from Canada. Like I owning a house with a pool is something that I like always dreamed of. I want to be able to host my family, blah, blah, blah. And it was like so lame. Like it made me feel so embarrassed to be Asian.
Yeah, I just feel like it was just like a redo of that other show. What's that show? Bling Empire.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, do you want to go on that cast? And like, we have so much.
He wants to be Bling Empire so bad.
Because like the main guy of Bling Empire, he was like, I'm poor. Like he kept saying, oh, I'm poor.
Adopted.
I'm poor. I know. Like, you might not have as much money as the arms dealer and their family, but you still make millions of dollars. You can't be saying you're poor out here.
Yeah.
Like, that's so crazy. And like, I think from the Gal Gadot Imagine with all the freaking celebrities, like, no one gives a shit about that anymore. No. Like, no one wants to see any of that. Like, it's like, we are out here talking about, like, of all the shows you could have gone on Netflix, of every single
Selling
show.
Selling Sunset.
And you're talking about your personal, like, wealth life. Like, we…
Like, 6 to 8 mil.
Yeah, like, could you go on, like… You know, Queer Eye and like help motivate like an
Asian queerness. Like,
could you do that instead? And it's like, why that show? Like, why?
I mean, it was smart, obviously, because he's coming off of Shang-Chi fame, and then obviously he's making his rounds, and then now he like Selling Sunset. Like, I binge watched it in one day. Like, it's actually such a stupid show that I will always watch.
So horribly well produced.
Yeah. So I understand that he. It was a big good PR move, but I'm just so sick of like, just because the first Asian guy you have, now we have to drink bubble tea. And then also like, I'm just, we're still people, you know, like I still have same interests as you. That's white. That's walking down the street. Like, I hate that. It's like emphasis around Asianness and they like caricaturize elements and like really, capitalize on that. And that made me feel kind of stupid and like a really bad representation. And to what you were talking about earlier, like there is literally 5 Asian characters or actresses that are making waves and in every single thing. So there's Gemma Chan in Eternals. And then there's Awkwafina, Simu Lee. And also Simu Lee and Awkwafina literally had zero chemistry on that movie. It made me uncomfortable. They would have been brother and sisters and I would have been okay with it. And I just want their... Oh, wow.
Oh, no, we all
They're pissed. Everyone else, the ancestors are pissed. Yeah. Now they're speaking up. And then, yeah, I just feel like there are so many more Asian actresses and actors that can be representation of it. And, like, for example, there's this new-ish show called Sex Life of College Girls on HBO.
Oh, I haven't seen that.
It's a Mindy Kaling show, so, like, the comedy is, like,
Mindy Kaling, so comedy. Mindy Kaling. Yeah, okay.
But they have like an East South Asian in the character who's like really like sexually active, which is like I think so like more so taboo to see. And like I do like that there are more waves coming of these stories being told, but I would really like to step away from the traditional like fresh up the boat like immigrant story. Like we live real lives. Like normal lives.
Yeah, we already know that. Like that's what I mean. Like when we started Made In, we were like, we're going to say this is a show from Asian perspectives. But yeah. We decided to like nix that Asian part. It's like, it's just our perspectives. We're Asian. You can see that. Yeah. We don't need to overexplain
I don't
that.
Need to call it out for you.
Yeah, and I'm going
to
be like, this is an Asian show. Like, you know, look at my face. Like, you look know at we're us. Asian. So anything we analyze in pop culture, anything we talk mm-hmm. about, it's always going to be from a lens that's a bit different from the mainstream, right? Like, mm-hmm. I don't need to be out here telling you that we're pro-Asian or like holding up Asians. Like, we are, because we are, like, you know, the experience. Like, I feel like it's overdone, you know, at this mm-hmm. point. So I totally get what you mean. It's like, even some parts of that movie, like I just thought there was so many, like, ancient Chinese.
Oh, you did watch it?
I watched it because I watched it at home. Watched it.
Yeah.
And my mom also watched it too because she was like told by a friend to watch it. Like she said, unfortunately, that she fell asleep. I'm like, that's crazy.
What?
Yeah. I'm like, it was the most action. Well,
actually, has
movie.
Anyone met an Asian mother who can stay up watching an entire
it's
movie?
True, it's true.
Raise her hand.
Definitely not.
No, that does not exist.
Even superhero action stuff. She's like, I fell asleep. Like she's like, this doesn't remind me of Asian culture. I don't know what it was. I'm like, well, obviously it was fantasy. It's different. But like,
it's
she's
Hollywood,
like,
Asia.
She's like, but it seemed like they were trying to make it very easily digestible Chinese. Like,
I heard the translation was really awful too.
Oh yeah, and I could understand it too. And I was just like, she was just like, you know, there's so much more. That's mm-hmm. what she's like. There's
That's
so
fair.
Much more about our life and culture and growing up, and you know, and I think this year has been all about Korean dramas and last year too is just like, it's just so much easier not to have to think about all that stuff. Mm-hmm. They live normal lives. Yes, there's like very specific Korean cultural things, i.e. like getting a job, like that is very different than here or whatever. But mm-hmm. like you just see the emotions from a full range of emotions without being like, this is a ancient Korean.
Spelling out the nuances.
Yeah, like ancient Korean ritual. About, I'm like, okay, like that's like, you're just really like choking me with it. Like, who is this audience made for? Like, who was this show made for? That's always like really important. It brings me back to Fresh Off the Boat. Like with Eddie Wong, who's like, I didn't fucking sign off on this.
Like, absolutely not.
Caricature.
Erase my name off of this.
Yeah.
Incredible book though. Yeah.
Yeah, incredible. But like, he didn't sign up for the mom necessarily to be having those themes, you know, like, and he was just like, this is such a simple reflection of the first
exactly
show
what,
of an Asian family or whatever, right?
I know we have a long ways to go, but I didn't watch it. But there's this movie called Love Hard on Netflix. It's with Nina Dobrev, and they have this other Asian guy.
Oh, I didn't mind that one.
Okay, really?
I just thought
I
it
didn't
was
watch it, but apparently they made also that Asian character be like such a caricature of it.
Oh, did they?
Like the
I was
the
half
nerdy
watching
one.
Oh yeah. Okay. Sorry. So yes, the character himself is nerdy.
Yeah.
And he's like a nerdy Chinese dude who is like. Sorry. Can I? You know you watch it. Can I spoil it?
Oh my god. No. Do you think I'm gonna spend time watching after I'm gonna talk shit about it?
Okay. Yeah. So it's like a whole
catfishing thing.
But
yeah.
The thing is,
says it in the movie description. You're not spoiling anything.
Okay. Good. I'm like whatever. I hated the fact that he was like.
Hyper nerdy. We get it. Asians are nerdy.
Yeah, we're
so white people. Okay,
whatever. But they actually brought in like other Asian characters
who are half Asian. The half Japanese guy who's like
the brother.
Yeah,
right?
Who was in
that guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. As like the hot guy, I guess
the hot Asian that can only be mixed.
Yeah, Henry Golding too.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
Whatever.
Exactly.
But the older brother was like that other guy from Glee. I don't know if you remember.
Oh, Henry Shum?
Yeah, him. So he was there and he wasn't that character. Like, he wasn't like a nerdy whatever. Mm-hmm. But it was kind of annoying. Yes, of course. Like, your main character, your dude, is the nerdy Asian who lives in the basement with his parents. Like, it's just like, okay. But I honestly didn't mind because, like, my brain was just, like, fried. I wasn't even really watching. But I was, like, the grandma was super, like, the Asian grandma was super, like, raunchy.
Oh.
And I was like, it's a bit much, but obviously that's not traditional. So yeah. I think they were just trying to mix everything
a Netflix
together.
Hallmark movie about it.
Yeah, and they were just trying to be like, we're not playing to stereotypes, even though our main character is a nerdy guy who's in a basement. Their grandma's raunchy. So it's like
this would never happen in an Asian home.
So it doesn't need to be that extreme, y'all. Like, if you're writing the script, it's like, I get it. Like, we can just be normal people. Hopefully we're just a normal character. Like, that would be great.
Do you know what show I think did a really good job of talking about their culture is Rami. Have you ever seen
it? No, I didn't see it. Is it good?
About an Egyptian Muslim living in like Jersey, somewhere in New York. And each episode they do center around the main character who is fucking awful. Like, as in the character is just so annoying. And I think they just did a really amazing job writing it. But they talk about what it's like being Muslim. And then for him, he would still go to prayer on Friday, but then will also go party after. And then will sleep with people before they're married. And like, he's like, it's going through his confliction about with his religion and his beliefs. And then what like normal like society is like. And then not only does it center on him, it does really point out a lot about the misogyny, the double standard between him and then his younger sister, what the parents and the culture also has on that. So they go through like the dad's story and the mom's story and the daughter and like the uncle, and like it was actually like it wasn't so like choking down your throat about like this
it
is
was
what,
like subtle,
yeah, and it was like really raw and real. And then it got me thinking about like what would be like your ideal storyline for like an Asian representation TV show that you would fuck with.
Man, that's
tell me what like network you want it to be on, and like,
oh my god, you obviously have a thought.
So. Obviously, I have a thought.
I mean, how about you go first? Let me marinate and you share us your thought.
Well, I think I would like it to be a combination of I want it to be on HBO, I think.
Yeah, okay, HBO.
Yeah, HBO or like Hulu, even though I've never seen Hulu, but good shows come up from there. Kind of like a Broad City mixed with like How to Make It in America, maybe. But like, it doesn't have to be about like an Asian kid. Like, I want it to be from like 25 onwards that already moved out of the Asian home and they're just like living their life and like about them dating. Like, I want like an Asian character going through like in their 20s dating and like, I don't know if they're like maybe middle class or they're going through like financial things.
Yeah,
and, like,
yeah.
But also having fun and like being maybe Asian fetishized and like
this is gonna be taken such in the wrong way because I absolutely did not like this show. It
you
was just
like Broad City.
No, sorry. I'm talking about the show that I'm gonna mention.
Oh, okay.
That I would be cool, but Girls, I watched it. Right, it was like
first season was okay.
Yeah, it was like obviously afforded the privilege of you know being a white woman. Being anyone you want, any character you want to be, like literally Lena Dunham was like for many people, like a disgusting character in that show, right? Like everyone was like, and she didn't want to hide it, whatever. I would like that to be a possibility for
our
characters, but without the, like the, like there's some fucking Chinese thing here, or like, there's this thing here. Like, I don't want any of that. Like, I'm done.
I think the reason why I didn't watch the Awkwafina show, like,
Nora from Queens.
Yeah, it's because like I felt like it was they were just always in like Chinatown. They're always going for dim sum or like something, and like it does not need to surround around that narrative.
Yeah, and like it's not to say that you can't have zero scenes eating with your parents. Okay, it's not saying that. It's just like if that's the major theme and like that's always going to be the thing. Like I would like to know the person more instead of about just the fact that they're Asian and their Asianness and how much they strayed from their Asianness or how much they retained their Asianness. It's like, let's just do a normal show. So, like, I don't mean, like, I like Girls. I just mean, like, that freedom of writing where each character was allowed to be so different. Obviously, there's a very different identity. But, like, that I felt like that show was something that was so free to write. Like,
yeah. That was, like, the first of its kind, too.
Yeah. And that's why I always, like, oh, man, that'd be cool to have a show like that. Yeah. And just for anyone, though. Like, not even just, like, just specifically a cast of four Asian girls. Like, with just more people that reflect what this country / America looks like, right? Yeah. Like, that's all we want, the freedom to not have to lean into, I'm Asian, so I have to do this, or I'm Asian, so I have to do that. So that would be kind of like ideal for me.
So I'm basically saying someone write a TV show about us. I love to tell you all my stories.
We're really different as people. So we're not the same.
Just kidding. Yeah.
Well, no. I mean, you're not really kidding.
No, I'm not. Yeah. I'm dead serious. But that'd be dope to see. Hey, 2022 has a lot in store. And I feel like I even like Teen Vogue did like a a roundup of like up and coming like Asian actresses and stuff. Mm. And I think that's really good. Like there was that Japanese girl from the Babysitter's Club show on Netflix. And like, yeah, I think there is a lot. And I think there are more people. Crying in H Mart.
Yeah,
adopting it to a movie. So I think there will be so many more opportunities. I am just sick of seeing Simu Lee and Awkwafina being like the poster child of Asianness.
Yeah, we need more. And also they're both Chinese. Like let's get some like let's not just always just ride on that.
La Lisa is killing the game.
Oh, she's from amazing. Thailand,
so I guess we'll give her that. But that's like a different caliber of fame. Like we'll never reach there.
No,
that's never say never. Not. We will be there. Blanks, watch out.
But that's just like crazy. Like it's just like, you know, within Asia, there's so many politics as well. It's like they all, just all think that we're all friends and stuff. Just because Simu Liu's here, it reps for the
and
Filipino
also,
community. What?
I'm sorry. And then he fucking did like this entire like roast show at Yorkdale where he like took pictures with everyone. I just think he's so embarrassing. I'm so sorry. And I just think he's so cheesy. And like, I don't want him to be the representation of Asians.
That's what I meant. Like all the people I can think of the top of my head, like, I'm just like, man, these people are corny. Like, I don't.
Is there any Asians out there that actually like Simu Lee? Like, please someone tell us.
Well, to be honest, I need to do my research, but off the bat,
literally no one.
I still love John Cho like a lot.
Oh yeah. Oh,
I love him. And he is like a sexy 50-year-old man. Like,
yeah, he's just aging well.
Oh, he's aging well. Yeah. And like he's always just been a funny dude. Like
the
and Stephen Yeun. I don't mind Stephen Yeun either. Yeah, I don't mind him.
Don't get me started on Stephen Yeun.
So there are other people that you don't have to like plaster your face over like 10,000 posters and be like, I am the Asia guy. Yeah. I am the guy. I'm just like, relax. Yeah. Like, you represent a very small sect of how big we are. You know, like, it's just crazy.
Obviously, you know, I'm a big fan of TikTok.
Yeah, same.
I don't really listen to Twice, like the girl band, but I really felt inclined to teach myself how to do the dance for their song.
Are you going to do it for us?
It is so hard. Like they did this like one body roll move and I just couldn't do it. I literally watched this video on loop. I think
Okay, guys.
I'm not going to do it. I'll do it maybe for the New Year kickoff or something. But
No.
So
this isn't going to be a video for the New Year.
But like, I'm so surprised of like, people are really, really amazing dancers. Like, you think it looks so easy and I try to do it. My body does not move like that.
People on TikTok can dance.
Insane.
It's been such a good tool, like you just said, like, for sharing international music. Yeah. Like, I just picked up random, like, Turkish music. I'm like, yo, this is fire. Like, it's like, there's just so much good sharing happening there. And it's just like, and also gives anybody, like, the opportunity. Their algorithm is so weird where
so
it's like,
true.
You could just be a complete random and posted one video and somehow it just like it's popping.
Yeah,
and you're there. It's
like
it's
the
crazy
viral video that I posted on Made In. That's my only one shot of fame. But I don't like committing to following someone, but then you know what I do is I like to engage with them. So I would go to their profile, maybe watch another video, and I don't follow. But isn't it like the best feeling when they come back and you're like, they come back on your For You page and I was like, oh my God, I missed you.
Yeah,
like,
I did
check
you
up on you.
And I think I might have to follow
you.
Yeah,
oh my God. So I was like, if it comes back, it means I can follow you. Or like, it means I care enough.
It means like they know me so well that they know the content.
Like, I will like this.
My algo is great. It's very me. It's like a mix of heavy but lots of stupid dank memes.
Good for you.
Yeah.
But anyways, TikTok dancing is very hard, and I do not know how all these
this
Asian
is happening.
Everyone's
New Year's resolution for you
to learn. I would like to learn at least three TikTok.
Oh, okay.
Well, a year's a long time. Not just
well, we can make
one.
A challenge. Like I'll learn three, you learn three, but do they have to be the same?
But
ones?
You're like an actual dancer.
No, I'm
that's
not.
That's like very. That, no,
no
that is a very what is it? Uneven challenge. You come up with another challenge.
I would like to do a mukbang, but do mukbangs always have to be like I'm eating an absorbent amount? Like, can I just be eating and like talking for an hour? Like, do I have to eat like 500 KFC buckets? Because I don't want to really
that's
do
a lot.
That. Isn't
we
that mukbang?
Okay, fine. I think you can take mukbang however you want it to be. But I've been meaning to tell you that you'll be happy to hear. I listened to this 5-series podcast episode about Mariah Carey.
Amazing.
About her emancipation.
Emancipation.
Yeah, and I didn't even know what that word was. But freedom. I had to look it up. Yeah, it's freedom. Yeah. I learned so much about Mariah Carey and
you
I was so excited to
book.
Tell you. I know. So it was it came out after she wrote her memoir and it was so interesting. I really liked it. It's by like Wonderly and they're producing is so cheesy. Like the way that they say it's like a lot of puns and it's like really cheesy one-liners, but they did a really good job of like sharing her story.
Yeah.
And I know you're a big fan.
I'm a lamb. I'm in the land. You are land. Wow. Yeah.
But yeah, I had no idea. I don't know why, because maybe because I'm like overcrowded by like Britney Spears news, but I had no idea about all the like mental health like support.
Oh, that she had a lot.
Yeah, whirlwind of things.
And she comes up as like a diva, but yeah, that's just the front, you know? Like,
she knows how to sell.
She's still a diva. Like, she doesn't sleep at all. Like, that's something that's a fact. She doesn't sleep at all. She sleeps at like 4 and she eats like pasta in the middle of the night. Like,
how do you know?
Oh, it's like a well-known fact people who
for like lambs. A lot,
for lambs, yeah, but like
I'm not a full lamb yet.
But she like someone who there are some really creative people out there that literally just don't sleep. It's actually crazy. A lot of this
I
is like
not.
I don't know how they do it. Like,
well,
it's crazy.
I did not sleep for 5 days at one point.
Oh my god, guys, we're gonna do a throwback. We're going to do a lot of new things in the new year, and we're going to find all these kind of gems for you to know. She stayed awake for 5 days on live camera. For 5 days. Like, I could just go on the website at, like, 2 a.m., 5 p.m.
Did you come see me?
I watched you all the time.
Yeah. Well, for those who don't know, this is me just, what is it? I'm just boasting myself.
Plugging,
now.
Yeah.
I'm plugging my own self. Back in 2014, when I was 22 years old, young Jazz stayed up for 5 days, 91 hours, and watched television.
Hours.
And I have a Guinness World Record.
Oh, yeah. She has a Guinness World Record. And literally, people were like, so there's a group of like 10.
There's five of us.
They were dropping out like flies. Like, yeah. One day, this girl was like, I can't do it. Next day, this guy's like, I'm out of here. She made it till the end. Like, she would be on the exercise bike, and I would just watch her. Like,
yeah.
This girl is not sleeping. And you watched every season of Star Trek?
No, first season. So we watched, they had a schedule for, so for context, it was when they were launching Crave TV, which is like a Canadian Netflix. And they were, their whole big thing was that they have all the archival, like HBO shows. So they had a schedule for us. So we watched one season of every show that they had. So it started from like Sopranos, in the City, and a bunch of CTV shows like Arrow, and then Star Trek. Oh my god. But to be fair, by like hour 40 onwards, I have completely blacked out. I do not remember watching any TV show.
You don't remember it?
I remember watching Sex and the City only because you have to listen to the intro and the outro, and the episode is only 20 minutes long. So like having to listen to that on loop like made me go crazy.
I need to find that video. I have a video watching her on the website, and like I would just log in and be like, I wonder how she's doing.
Yeah.
You powered through that thing.
I did. But again, that was when I was 22 years old. Now I'm so, so serious about my sleep. I love going to bed at like 9:30, 10. My best friend, one of them moved to Vancouver, and we literally can never FaceTime because I'm going to sleep at the time.
She's like, I just finished work. And you're like, well,
I'm going to bed.
Yeah.
So we have like a 30-minute window.
Oh my God.
We can talk to each other. But yeah, the TBT. That used to be, guys, on my dating profiles. It was such a good clickbait.
Oh, and that's
I have a Guinness World Record.
Oh, I just want to tell you, first date, I have a Guinness World Record.
Yeah,
what do you have?
Yeah, literally. It never got me anywhere, to be honest, guys. Here I am. But yeah, that's my one fun fact.
No, that one's really, what year was that?
2014.
I'm trying to think of a fun fact from 2014 that I have. I don't have a, I honestly,
we
like,
can dig up some fun gems.
Have no memories, but I was probably just being a stupid kid going out a lot.
Yeah, that was your peak years.
That was my peak
years. No, you were like winding down from the peak years.
Yeah, I think it was like second year. I was like, you know what? This city has nothing to offer me right now. I'm not going to go out every second.
Yeah. We have 10 minutes left. I forgot to do snack time when we first started.
Okay, let's do snacks.
Guys, today's snack, it's my favorite gummies from Korea. It's called Mai Gumi. It looks so pretty. So it's shaped like grapes. It tastes, I want to say, little droplets of Welch's grape juice.
Ooh.
Yeah, I really love it. They do have a peach flavor as well. I don't like it as much.
I got to try this. This is your favorite gummy.
It's
my
favorite.
God, it's so gummy.
I know, it's like really chewy. It's better than those like Welch's fruit gummies I used to get in your Lunchables.
So
this
cute.
Is like the real deal. It's not sour. It doesn't have any like sugar coating on it. So it just like
I
a little.
I love these.
Mm-hmm,
they're great.
Mm-hmm.
They're so good.
You can buy it in a 3-pack at H Mart or Pat, obviously. Love them. Next time you see it, please go get it. It's
I really respect Asian desserts / snacks. This is actually facts. Like, they're never overly sweet, okay? Like, no one needs this much sugar. Like, having a Uncle Tetsu cake, like a Japanese cheesecake. Not
so light.
Sweet.
So light.
So airy. You would eat the
You're
whole
eating
cake.
Air.
And now if you buy a cake at the Cheesecake Factory, like, heard it's like 1,000 calories a slice.
Oh, that is unwell.
That is unwell. Yeah. Like, I'm just like, I appreciate the fact that like they make candy that you could just keep eating. Like, mm-hmm. it's like your mouth is not going to feel like it's rotting. It's often like less sugar. Mm-hmm. So love it. But this is it really tastes like you're eating
grapes.
Grapes, yeah.
It's delicious. Purple grapes. I love it.
Mm.
Yeah. So good these job. Are my favorite. Thank you.
Good choice.
But I guess in the spirit of the year winding down, thank you, everyone, for listening to us. We had a really great year. Did you just see my Spotify Wrapped about our podcast?
Yes.
I'm like choking now. We had like 200% growth in people listening to us.
Growth.
Yay.
Analytics.
Algorithms.
Yes.
Data.
So share with your friends. And also we want to thank ISO Radio.
Yeah.
And
our friend Joe Spain is here. Hosting us.
JMKM's in the building.
They literally... Yeah, gave us such a chance to just come here and talk everyone's ear off for an hour. For an hour. Here we are. We're never leaving. You're not getting rid of us. And nope. Then, yeah, well, but what do you remember what your favorite episode was this year? What was your favorite conversation?
Favorite episode? I mean, to be honest, I really like this one. This one was really good. I felt like
today?
Yeah, we got a lot of stuff out. What do you mean? We got so much stuff out. My favorite combo. Oh, I loved her interview with Audrey.
Oh my God, that was going to be mine.
Oh yeah, that was so cool.
We really caught her at a really prime time before she like really shoot it off. Did you see her music was on Insecure HBO?
Yeah, yeah.
And I love that girl. She was so chill. And like I felt so genuine. And like I think she has so much career ahead of her. Like her creativity, yeah. Her originality. Like I think she's such an incredible human. I felt like really honored to have like
I was inspired by her. Like she's much younger than us, but she was so inspiring. And she literally like FaceTimed us from the bathroom. She's just chill. Like
she's
it was
so
awesome.
Cute.
Yeah, she was great.
Still waiting for you to come visit us in Toronto.
We'll see when the concerts happen. Because that's what we're really waiting for.
Wow. I'm like looking back at all of our episodes this year. We did a lot. We talked to Taylor Takahashi Boogie. We talked to Grace Lee,
she's
the makeup
cool.
artist from Maybelline.
Her,
that was so cool. And then, I guess we went through really heavy months as well. I'm so happy to have had this community to talk during all of that. And like,
I'm so
really
happy
bring us back together.
That we're not just like over Zoom.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And I can see you in person.
Yeah. And it's not like everyone, like a guest, like it would be great, but. You know, I think it's not harder. Over Zoom, there's just so many weird glitches. We were fine, but it was just like, are you going to talk now? You're not in the room with me. It's kind of weird.
I mean, we killed it, obviously, without it. But the biggest highlight is that we even got paid to do a couple of things this year. Like, it's onwards and upwards from here.
Yeah, so hit us up, please.
Yeah.
If you think
we're taking all sponsorships.
Yeah, and we also are going to do a lot more next year. Like, we're literally going to leave this place and have our two-person year-end dinner where we plan and reflect and celebrate.
So Evie and I usually have a lot of these dinners where we're like, okay, we're going to really gather together, brainstorm, plan.
Oh,
and then we just eat and then we forget about everything. I'm like, so hold us accountable. Wait, coming to New Year, something exciting we can share is that we might look a little bit different. I don't know. Maybe. Keep an eye out for that.
I don't mean like physically us.
Yeah,
though.
I'm not getting a BBL.
Yeah, not us. Like we're
not
doing
getting
nothing.
A BBL,
we're not doing any plastic surgery.
We might
it's
look
not.
A different. So stay tuned. Sorry that we're really quiet on Instagram all the time, but you know what? I know you're still listening to us, holding us down. So we'll see you in the new year. And I hope everyone has a really good end of 2021.
Yeah, see you guys. And again, follow us at imaiden_.
Bye.
Bye.